Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. Hey, go check out my friends over at Forever Fathers. You can find them at foreverfathers.com. This is one of my new favorite brands, right? T-shirts, joggers, beanies, hoodies, you name it. The gear is comfortable. It looks good. Just because you're a dad doesn't mean you got to rock the dad jeans and the dad tennies, right? You can be swagged out. You can be fly. My wife likes it. She says it looks good on me. I like it, and it feels good. All right. And really, man, there's a purpose behind this brand. There's a purpose behind this clothing. So, you know, Forever Fathers, they want you to be, as a man, not just a dad, but authentic, legacy-minded, and to lead with purpose and passion. So go check out my friends at foreverfathers.com. Grab some gear. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I am pumped. Today I have Coach Pat Higgins on with us. And a little bit about his background. He wrestled for Penn State, who, if you are a follower of wrestling, you know, they just won another national title, the most dominant Division I program in the nation for a little over a decade now. So they're doing big things there. Coach was part of four national championships there. He runs the Centurion Wrestling Club, based out of New Jersey. We were just kind of talking off camera a little bit about some of that experience and coaching. And I know for almost everyone, once you've gone from being a wrestler to a coach, it's a different experience, but you become a better wrestler and you're able to really kind of meld those things together and get a different viewpoint. So, Coach, man, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I was actually listening to a few of the episodes this week, just kind of getting myself prepped to see, like, you know, what the format was going to be. And I saw, like, the company I was joining. I was like, oh, I got some big shoes to fill. I saw not just the wrestlers that you've had on here, you know, a lot of the military guys, too. You know, seeing that, like, made me really excited, just knowing that this is a huge opportunity. It's a lot of fun. So definitely excited to be on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, it's an honor, you know. And I first found you or saw you, you know, through social media like we do these days and get to follow a lot of people. And reading some of your comments, you know, some of the things that you were teaching your athletes caught my eye almost immediately. A lot of the things that I also like to teach. And as a coach, man, I'm always trying to learn, right? Always trying to learn, having a growth mindset. So reading some of your stuff, I'm like, oh man, I got to connect with this guy. So I started following you on social media and seeing what you're doing. But we'll get into that here in a little bit. So let's just start here. You know, tell us about where you grew up and then how you got into wrestling. And if you did any other sports when you were younger too.
Yeah. So, well, most of my sports, so little context, I'm the youngest of five boys. And my, like I said, kind of in the off camera stuff, my dad was a Jersey State Trooper. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that started out in my life wasn't really my choice. It was kind of like, hey, your brothers did this, so you're doing it. And so most of my sports that I played growing up were the general, you know, little sports. You play T-ball, you know, get to play peewee football, and then, you know, get wrestling. And so I grew up in a very rural part of New Jersey. Like, usually when people think Jersey, they don't think, you know, farms and stuff, but where I live, in my township I live in actually has more farmland preserved than Manhattan has acreage. And so it's very rural. One thing I love to say, especially when people are like, oh, there's no country in Jersey, I like to tell people that we have a rodeo. And people are like, no way. And I'm like, yeah, it's the longest running seasonal rodeo in the U.S. It's called Cowtown Rodeo. If you talk to a lot of like cowboys, like, they usually know about it. So it's always funny, like, you know, I talk to people especially at Penn State, to be like, you're from Jersey. There's no country there. I'm like, there actually is a lot more than you would think. It's called the Garden State for a reason. And I like to say that my area of the state's the reason it's called the Garden State. But I loved it growing up here. You know, it was nice. We kind of got the best of both worlds where you're in Jersey, and so you're convenient to stuff. You know, you're 2 hours to New York, 2 hours to D.C., Baltimore. I live about 40 minutes away from Philly, so I grew up a Philly fan. So you got the, you know, Rocky thing in the background. And what's nice about it is that it's not like living out in the Midwest where, like, it's country, but there's nothing. It's like you grow up in country, but you're 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes away from anything you need. And then doing sports out here was a lot of fun too, because you get a good mix of everybody where it's still like a little bit kind of blue collar lifestyle. So a lot of the blue collar sports tend to be bigger. You know, the football, wrestling, baseball, a lot of that stuff. But you can still play a lot of the other sports. So growing up, I played pretty much everything except for like tennis and lacrosse. I wrestled, I played baseball, I ran track, I ran cross country, I played football. And then what was kind of fun for me was I was always kind of the littler guy. So, you know, being the youngest of five boys and always realizing I was the smallest of the group, I had to figure out, you know, what worked for me. So I got into wrestling at about three, and the first like 2 years, one of the local programs just ran like an intramural thing. So like you didn't really compete. You just practiced and kind of had fun, which was awesome for me. And then, you know, I had, after that year though, I had to go to my actual like township program, which my township has like a sending district. So like we don't have our own high school. We go to another high school. So you usually compete all your youth sports for them too. So I wound up like leaving a lot of my friends that I had trained with those first 2 years to go to this other school. Just kind of had to start from square one, like with new people, and a lot of fun. Grew up wrestling in that program, playing football for that program. I actually got to play baseball though with a lot of like my other teammates, because the little league I played for was the next town over, which is about like 5 minutes from where I live. My dad was the president of the little league. So, you know, we played there instead of playing with Woodstown, where we probably would have had he not been there. But we had a lot of fun just playing everything, trying everything. And then I actually, story I love to tell about wrestling. And this is, you know, you said you saw a lot of my comments. You see a lot of the way, like I teach. So I'm a big, big proponent of like proper training and just kind of tempering expectations, making it fun, because I did experience burnout myself. So when I tell people the story, they're usually like shocked. They're like, what, you were able to wrestle for Penn State and you quit wrestling? Because everybody always thinks wrestlers are, you know, these like ironclad, just extremely, you know, strong-willed, complete mental toughness people, where it's like they forget people are just people. Like people are human. And so in sixth grade, I just got really frustrated because I was used to having a lot of success, but I was on kind of a local team that just didn't really have anybody that I felt pushed me when I started wrestling these kids that were club wrestling. And like, I didn't know what club wrestling was. Like my brother, my middle brother had been a really good high school wrestler. He was a state qualifier. He actually grew up wrestling with Jordan Burroughs, which he loves to tell people he beat Burroughs when he was in eighth grade. And I was like, well, he wasn't good yet, so it doesn't count. But his senior year, he actually took third in Burroughs region. So it went Burroughs, my brother's training partner, Chris Aponte, and then my brother. So it's kind of cool to see that region picture, just seeing him in the same picture as him. And that's like one thing, you know, they never really got me into higher level wrestling as like that, like fifth, sixth, seventh grader. And I burned out anyway. So like, if I had been in club wrestling, like, I don't know, maybe I would have burned out faster. Maybe I would have burned out worse, and just never come back to it, period. But I'm very grateful for the fact that I did burn out. Because in eighth grade, I told my dad after two failed seasons of basketball that, you know, 4'6" Pat was not meant for basketball. 4'6" Pat was meant to go back to wrestling. And I basically told him, sign me up. Like, I don't care. I can suck. It's fine. And I went back, and in eighth grade, I was ground zero. I sucked again. It was all fresh. Like, you know, all those years of wrestling prior were just dormant. And so it was nice because for the first, you know, month or two, like I was losing, taking, you know, not butt whoopings, but like I wasn't winning, which is what I was used to the first, you know, several years of my career. And so in eighth grade, I had a really good coach who just like, you know, kind of saw that potential in me and saw that like fire, the desire to get better. And he really motivated me to like, just want to be better, want to be like, do more. And I remember the practice that kind of changed a lot of the way I thought. Cause I was an eighth grader. I was expected to be a leader in the room. Like, even though I was kind of new on the team, you know, you're eighth grade, you're like the senior on the team basically. And so the team was goofing off and our coaches kind of yelled at us all. And we're like, eighth graders, like, you know, we haven't picked a captain yet because none of you guys act like captains. Like, we'll make a younger kid captain if you guys don't act like it. And it was kind of that kick in the butt that I needed to be like, all right, I need to be more than just somebody showing up to practice. Like, I need to lead. I need to try and, you know, do everything I can. So I started stepping up. And then that same coach had helped out at a club, the first club I ever club wrestled at. And so he like told me like, hey, like you should go to this club. And you know, see if you like it, go wrestle, it'll help you get better, you'll learn some better technique. I think you can do it. And so I went to that practice, because they practice pretty much every day, even in season. So you'd have some kids on my team that were like skipping our middle school practice to go to club practice. So like he gave me permission, like, yeah, it's fine. Like, if you want to go like these days, go these days. So I wound up going, and my very first practice, I go in, I'm like, who's the best kid in the room? And they pointed to this kid, Mark. His name's Mark McCormick. He wound up placing in Jersey States, and then he wrestled at Ryder. He was a really good kid and just nice kid, but he was tough as hell to wrestle. And so the first practice I walked up to him, I was like, hey, Mark, like, you want to be partners? And he was like, sure. So I got my butt whooped for the full practice, like drilling and everything, just could not keep up with his pace. Live just had no shot, not even a prayer. Next practice, went back in, Mark, you want to be partners? Sure. Same thing. And I kept doing that until either he got annoyed and like wanted to go with somebody else. Or, you know, I felt like I was closing the gap at all. And so when I would wrestle him and a lot of the other like better guys in the room, I could see myself closing the gap. And so I really just bought into it hard. And that's what made that year so special, was because I realized like I can take myself to a higher level there. I thought about like, I can do this in every aspect of my life. So in school, like I was always a pretty good student, but like that year I was in advanced classes. I say advanced meaning like freshman year classes as an eighth grader. Like I was in algebra one, an advanced science class, Spanish one, which like usually most people will take those freshman year. And so I just like decided like, hey, I'm not just here to take part in these classes. Like I want to do well. And when it came time to schedule my high school classes, my guidance counselor for the high school was like, yeah, you know, like, you know, we can put you in these classes. I was like, no, I want all honors. And she was like, what? I was like, I want all honors classes. Like, I don't want any normal classes. Give me all honors. And she was kind of like, okay, like, I think you can do it, but like, you're not, you know, you're not going to get the best grades you can get. I was like, it's not about the grades. Like, I want to learn. I want to do the best I can. And so I wound up taking all honors, and just that pedigree of that year really changed my life. And so I think had I not quit wrestling in sixth grade and come back with that fire, that new kind of blissful look at it, and just basically the white belt mentality, I don't think I'd be where I am today.
It's awesome to be able to hear. First off, it makes me think of, I have a wrestler, a senior this year, who's a really good wrestler for us, and kind of did the same thing. He actually transferred here his mom moved from another town. But when they got here, she was like, you know, he kind of told me a story. He came here in middle school, but he's wrestled for a long time and he kind of got burned out and he quit for a while. And, you know, we're here and he wants to try wrestling again. Awesome. And he came in, he ended up being a great wrestler for us, renewed his fire. He's going to go wrestle in college next year. So it's awesome to hear those stories, because so many people, when they feel that, they just give up and they quit, or people just give up on them. Right. But getting in the room with the right coach who sparked that fire in you, who got that interest in you, who poured into you, you know, it's a beautiful thing as well. So, all right, let's jump forward. You know, at what point did you decide, like, hey, I'm going to go wrestle for Penn State, the best team in the nation?
Pretty much as soon as I had taken all my visits, I was just like, and I visited Penn State on a 38-degree rainy day. I visited Virginia Tech on an 80-degree sunny day. Maryland was the same thing. And I was like, Penn State. It's got to be Penn State. So I committed there. And just, like, when I got up there, like, I realized, like, you know, you think when you get there, like, everybody on that team is a state champ, you know, state placers at least. But then, like, some of my best friends were all, like, the same way. Like, we had never placed in states. And, you know, we're just all really talented, hardworking wrestlers. And that was kind of when I realized, like, it really was more about character than it was, like, your accolades. And so when I got there, I really rethought a lot of my high school career because I was like, dude, it didn't mean anything. Like, the character, the aspects of the sport you learned from all that different things, like, that's what got you on Penn State, not your placing, not all that. And, like, obviously my pedigree is different based on, you know, what were my aspirations there, but, like, it was amazing just thinking back on that high school career where in a lot of ways I could have easily felt like I accomplished nothing, but I now get to look at back at it and think, like, no, everything happened the way it was supposed to.
Yeah. You know, and for context, for those who aren't, I mean, those who are wrestling people know, those who aren't, you know, New Jersey is a phenomenal wrestling state. So to place and stay in New Jersey, you're elite. To do well in New Jersey, you're elite. I mean, it's a great wrestling state. So it's, you know, not like it's easy, but I love hearing this because how often as coaches do we talk to our athletes about character and about, you know, taking classes that challenge them, working hard in their classes, putting the same work ethic into their classes as they do in their practice and the outside training that they take part in and things like that. So sometimes it's hard for kids to, it's hard for any of us, right? Like hindsight's 20/20. It's hard for us to see the big picture sometimes and to know all this work I'm doing is actually going to pay off. And I can tell you right now as a coach, I've had some wrestlers win state that were incredible wrestlers and they put in work. I've had some guys win state or some guys go to state that didn't place that were incredible wrestlers. They put in the work. And, you know, I would say I had a kid a few years ago and he ended up placing his senior year, ended up placing fourth. And he may be the most talented wrestler we've ever had. And we've coached multiple state champions, multiple time state champions. You know, it's not always about exactly how it turned out, but, you know, knowing that the coaches who are running literally the best program in the nation, hands down, the wins all the time, right? Best program in the nation are recruiting guys who have high character, who have good work ethic, who are, you know, mentally tough. They're willing to go out and wrestle through injuries. And, you know, we'll get into it more here in a minute, you know, but so tell me about, you know, you walk into that room. Cause I know as a college athlete, I walked in and, you know, there's a lot of stud wrestlers in there, right? Everybody's good. In your high school room, you may have some good kids, but there's also some kids that aren't. You know, you walk into a college room and pretty much everybody's pretty dang good. And a lot of kids, they get broken, right? They go in there and they wrestle. They were used to being the top dog in their school. Now all of a sudden they're not. But there's a lot of reasons why people don't make it through college wrestling. Injuries, they just decide it's not for them. They, you know, get in a relationship and want to, like, hey, I want to get married and get a job. I mean, whatever it is, right? There's a lot of things. So tell me about your experience when you walk in the room and was it intimidating? Was it, you know, I know that Penn State has a great culture, but is it something where you felt accepted right away? You felt challenged? I mean, what were you thinking when you very first went in and started training with these guys?
So when I first got up there, so I'm pretty sure they do this at most schools, but we got, our roommates were all wrestlers. So my roommate, my freshman year, was my teammate, Franny Bisono. He's actually one of my best friends to this day. And so we, like, we're on our same team, obviously, but, like, Franny and I were on, like, the other side of the dorm from, like, most of our class, which our class was Chenzo, Kellen Stout, Tristan Law, Dom D'Angeli, Gary Dinmore. I don't think I'm missing anybody. It was a smaller class, but so they were on the other side. So we had to, like, walk around to get to them. It's like we had to make effort just to go say hi to our teammates. But at that point in time, Bo Nickel had lived in the dorms again, too, even though he was a sophomore. So, like, I think one of my first days on campus, like we went all and just got lunch together. And like we're sitting there and Bo like gets up and like you're supposed to take your tray back to the thing. And so like Bo gets up and goes, Higgins, you got this, right? And I was like, what? And he was like, you got my tray, right? And I was like, I guess, like, I don't know. Like, I didn't think anything of it. And he just like left. And then like all my teammates, like Chenzo and them were like, dude, why'd you let him like just tell you to take his tray? Like, make him take it. I was like, I don't know. I wasn't thinking fast enough. But then I just like came to realize, like, no, it's just like, you know, you're kind of messing with each other. And then we're all sitting hanging out in Chenzo's room. And I think that was a Wednesday. And so Wednesday we had Bible study. We had this Penn State Christian Athletes Bible study. And so Bo like comes knocking on the door. And is like, hey, who wants to go to Bible study? And I was like, I'll go. And so I went and then just like hanging out with him, Nolf, a few of the other guys that went, just like right away, I felt, hey, like, you know, these guys, they're just dudes, like they're teammates, you know, and at that point in time, I was kind of fortunately ignorant to how good they were. Like I'd always known that they were really good, but like, I didn't really follow a whole lot of wrestling. Like obviously I watched Nationals and stuff, but like, I didn't know who was supposed to be like the world-class guys. But it was fun. And you're just like, you know, you become friends with those guys. I became very good friends with Bo very quickly. And like, I remember our very first practice, like, I went in and I was like, do you guys think Nico would wrestle me? And they were like, yeah, just go ask him. So I walked up to Nico. I was like, hey, Nico, you want to be partners today? And he was like, yeah, sure. So my first practice was with Nico, and just kind of like I told you with like Mark, my first club practice, it was like kind of the same thing. Like, I could not keep up with his pace. Like everything sucked. And so we're just sitting there and like, I remember we had like a drink break and I'm dying. And I'm just like, no, you got to get through this practice. Like, you just got to get through it. Like you don't need to do well. You just need to finish. And so we wound up like going a little bit alive. We weren't doing a whole lot, but I remember Chenzo walked up and Chenzo goes like, oh, get him, Higgins. And so I was like, oh, I almost had him. Cause like at one point Nico had shot, we had a good scramble and like, I kind of touched his leg. But like, to me, that was a win, right? Like you're a true freshman wrestling, Nico Megalutis, like you're not supposed to be close. So like I touched his leg or something. And I took that as a win. And like Nico got up and was like, you will never almost have me ever. And I was just like, whoa, dude, calm down. Like, I didn't know it was that serious. And that was kind of my quick moment of just like understanding, like, all right, there's levels to this. Like some of these guys, like, you know, practice is serious. And that was like when I really started having fun with it, was like when I got to realize like I enjoyed competing with those guys. And I practiced with the coaches a lot freshman year too, just because the way my class schedule worked out, at least for fall semester, I would be like a little bit late to every practice. Cause like I told you earlier, like I had committed as an architecture major. Mm-hmm. I wound up changing majors. So like I had to really finagle my schedule, try and figure it out. I changed to business and I just like, you know, I'd show up a little bit late. So you'd have to go with like Coach Casey, which like wrestling him's really funny, but you spend half the time on your back and the other half on your belly, getting ready to get turned to your back. Especially when, you know, you're a 125 and he's a lot bigger than you. So I'd wrestle him a lot. Some days I'd literally just have to wrestle like the Adam shooting dummy because like I wouldn't have a partner. So, or I'd get there so late that like, it didn't make sense for me to jump into practice with anybody. And so freshman year is really when I was like, all right, like, you know, hey, you got to figure this out. And I did. By the end of the year, like I was always one of the last guys out of the room. Like I literally like, they'd be like, hey, guys, make sure you turn the lights off. And I really just like had fun with it. Like I had fun loving the process because being around the guys you're around, like your teammates, your friends, you kind of get it, just what made them so much better. And that's what like I really absorbed in my time at Penn State. It wasn't even so much as like, you know, what these guys were doing. It was that what they had already done up to that point gave them that love for the sport, the willingness to do what others wouldn't. And that's what they really ingrained in me. So that's what I'm grateful for to them and my coaches. And I felt welcome right away. Like, I don't think anybody on the Penn State team ever really feels like they don't belong there. You feel it from day one that you're on this team. you're an equal contributor, no matter what your lot is, like whether you're supposed to be a starter, whether you're a freshman, fifth year, senior, it doesn't matter. One of our first workouts of the year, one of our Saturday morning runs, one of the seniors, this kid, Garrett Hammond, he was actually the starter the year before. And we were out on a run, and I was a really good runner. Like I told you, I was a cross country runner. So we're running back from this like stair workout we did, which would like rival the Rocky steps. Yeah. And I catch up to him a little bit, and he's like, beat me. And I'm like, what? And he's like, beat me to the room. So I'm like, oh my God, like he wants to race. So like we take off into like a full on sprint. And like, I beat him by like the slightest of margins, but it was cool because, you know, he was a senior who just made it. It was like, I was there. I'm his teammate. You're going to push me. I'm going to push you. And that was how I knew, like, I belong here. And I really walked around campus the next couple of days after that, like those moments, and would just think like, it's where I'm meant to be. And it just stayed like that the rest of my career.
So of course there's lots of questions, but for a long time. So I grew up in Oklahoma. I grew up in the John Smith era, you know, and he was a phenomenal wrestler. I mean, we shot all low levels and high C's. That's all we did, you know, and I got into college. Iowa was kind of dominating the scene, and I found a knack for, I'm a pretty strong guy and very physical. So kind of switched my style to a little more Iowa type style, but so we had those, and then Penn State comes along and kind of creates this new, I would almost call it a hybrid style, right? Because everybody wrestles a little different, but guys are quick. And if you've ever seen Penn State guys in person, you'll hear the heavy hands. I mean, they're still very physical when they wrestle, but they wrestle wide open and score a lot of points. Okay, so what were the things, is it the guys that's recruited? Is it what you guys do in the room? What are the things that are focused on in the room? And I've seen you talk about, you know, and I want to get to your coaching philosophies here in just a little bit, but, you know, having fun, scoring points, things like that. We talked about, you know, a little bit before off camera, you know, going to matches and going to dual meets and just learning, right? Like making mistakes, and then we come back and make corrections. So what are the things that you guys did that allow guys to continue to grow and get better? Because I don't care what anybody says. People are like, oh, Penn State, you know, they're getting the best recruits. I'm like, no. Penn State, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Arizona State, like all the big schools are getting phenomenal recruits, right? But Penn State guys are just growing and growing and getting better, it seems like, all the time. So what are the things that you guys did in the room that allow you to enjoy wrestling and keep getting better and scoring a lot of points? Because it's, as a fan and as a coach, it is incredible to watch. And I've loved seeing this new style kind of take over.
Yeah. Well, so like I listened to Frank's take on it. Because, you know, you had podcasts with him.
Yeah.
What was cool about Frank is like he got the perspective of two different Penn State teams. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing a lot of his stories. And him being one of my assistants freshman year was huge for me. Like, I wrestled Frank almost, like, every day for at least 15 minutes after practice. Just having fun with it. Like, we'd do, like, 15-minute matches. You know, I'd do some crazy stuff on him. Like, I tried to fly in some at Mixerm one time, and, like, I would have got him, but his feet hit the wall, and he stopped me, and he held me on my back for the rest of the 15 minutes just because, yeah. Like, I had the ball to try it. So I think, like, what it really boils down to is – it's not even technique. Like you said, everybody wrestles differently. Everybody has their own styles. Everybody grows up, you know, principally doing what they do, right? But when you get there, you have this ingrained belief in you from the coaches, from the guys around you, that, like, you can be as special as you're willing to be. And everybody, like, day one going in, you buy into it just because, like, you see everybody around you believing it. And I think one thing I learned was that, like, you just have fun and you enjoy it. You wrestle around, like, have a good time with it, and good things will happen. Like, you know, when I was wrestling Nico, like, I didn't expect that I was going to take Nico down. Like, I didn't expect that, you know, I'd be able to even really touch a leg. Like I told you, like, it was a win if I could get in on a leg. But just being willing to try, keep going, and wrestle through positions, like, everything about that is what taught you. And it comes down to who you're wrestling, right? Like, if I was wrestling Nico, I had a very different practice than if I wrestled Jordan Conaway, who was also a starter, also an All-American. But, like, Jordan and my styles actually kind of matched up a little bit better because, like, we were both kind of scrappy, similar size. I actually got compared to him a lot when I was first, like, committed. Like, people kind of thought, like, oh, he could be, like, another Conaway-type wrestler. And so, like, it was a lot of fun wrestling Jordan. And then you, like, wrestle, you know, when you wrestle a Zane, like, you kind of know what you're going to get. You're going to be dead after the first, you know, little bit. And then Zane's going to punish you once you're already dead. So, you know, you wrestle everybody. But the big thing is that you have to be willing to just try and take risk. And that's what, like, I tell kids all the time now when we go live. Like, live's not a time for an ego. Live's not a time for worrying about winning or losing. It's about taking risks, trying stuff, making mistakes, learning from it. And, like, not to give away too much, but, like, I really think that was the differentiating factor for a lot of guys. Like, the development of wrestling, yeah, like you said, everybody has the best recruits, right? Everyone's wrestling. You know, every room has blue chip recruits, cadet, junior, world champs, you know, guys who are just going to be competing for national titles at some point. But what differentiates them is that the ones who are willing to just take risks, try stuff, and just grow for the sake of growing, for the love of the process, that's what makes you better. And it's not even like secret sauce technique. Like, obviously there's technique that, you know, we have there that guys have started to learn now because, you know, fun, and you see guys doing it, like, you know, Nolf's Winn-Dixie. Like, I had never seen a Winn-Dixie ever. But then, you know, Nolf popularizes it. And then you have like Andonian trying to hit Lovett off with it, which was like amazing. Like, it was cool. Like, oh, wait, that's the Winn-Dixie. Like, so, you know, but it came from the willingness for Nolf to try that stuff. Yes. And, you know, and like, I like to say to a lot of guys when I talk about my teammates is that we were all taught to wrestle free, right? Like, that's one thing. If you read my lessons from Coach Kale post, like, I talked about how, like, you need to wrestle free. And, like, I'm guilty of not wrestling free often because I was very uptight my first few years. But, like, my junior and senior year, like, when I really had learned it well just by wrestling in that system, like, I started doing things in matches that, like, I didn't even know how I did it. Like, I just would, like, feel the position, hit it, because, like, I had just been drilled into me, like, hey, it's there, take it. You know, but when you're tight and you're like nervous to wrestle, like you tie up and you're sitting there, you're like, I have an underhook. Like, oh, like, what do I do? Like, for me, it was like, I got to an underhook, I'd underhook throw. And I remember like one time I took Nick Lee down with it. Like he clubbed, I clubbed, I underhooked, and I just like punched it through and got it. And then I was like, holy crap. Like, I just took Nick Lee down. And like, I didn't really think anything of it until after the fact. And I was like, I was just flowing. Like, I was just not fearing what could happen if I tried it. Like, what's the worst that can happen? You go for a takedown, you get taken down, or you don't get the takedown. Like, it's a binary result, really. And I think that's what you learn there. And you just have fun with it. Like, live was kind of fun at Penn State. Like, you know, yeah, there were days where I hated it. I was really getting my butt whooped by somebody. But, like, it was always a good time. You know, a lot of times, like, after a good butt whooping practice, like, I'd be running around smiling just because, you know, I kind of needed that. Like, I remember right after I got that takedown on Nick Lee, Coach Cody came over and starts going, you know, play catch and release with me. Because, like, I had really good shot defense, and he wanted Nick Lee, like, shooting it on my legs to try and, you know, have me stop the shots. And so he just started playing catch and release, and like after the first like three, I was like, okay, I don't have any more. Like, I'm not in the same shape as Nick, and so like I'm just getting taken down at will. But I remembered like thinking in my head like, hey, this is kind of fun. So you know, you enjoy it. That's the best way I can put it. You just enjoy the process.
This episode of Coach P's Perspective is brought to you by Manscaped, the world champion in men's grooming, the best in men's grooming. For me, I've always believed as an athlete and as a coach, if you look good, you feel good, you're going to perform good. So I like to turn to Manscaped products. I use their shampoo, body wash, deodorant, lip balm, cologne. You name it, they pretty much have it, right? World-class trimmers. And one of the things I love about Manscaped is this. Whenever we're looking at their grooming products, they are paraben-free, cruelty-free, dye-free. If I'm going to put it on my body, I want to make sure it's healthy, and I want to make sure I smell good, right? So if you or someone you know wants to stay fresh, smell fresh, you want to walk out there with confidence, make sure that you go to manscaped.com, check out the products, and you can get a 20% discount right now using the code CoachP20. That is CoachP20. The world champions, the best in men's grooming, Manscaped. It, you know, hearing that, I mean, wrestling free, enjoying the process. Those are things that, you know, you hear all the Penn State guys say, right? I mean, you see any of their writings on social media, you hear them, you know, in interviews. And so, you know, that's ingrained in the culture. And that's something that as a high school, well, I think every coach in the nation, well, I wouldn't say every, there's probably some knuckleheads out there that are hard-headed, but a lot of coaches are trying to figure out, like, what is Penn State doing to be able to get these results? And I just know that as a longtime wrestler and now a longtime coach, it's just more fun when you wrestle free. It really is, you know? And so it's something we work on a lot in our program. We do a lot of scramble matches, a lot of play matches, you know, because like you said, when you're going live, you got to take the ego out of it. And a lot of kids have trouble doing that, right? So when they go live, like they only use their bread and butter moves. They only use the things that they're best at. They only get in positions where they're strong. They don't allow themselves to try the techniques that we've been working in practice, trying to add to their game. So getting them to like, hey, man, this is a play match. Like, you know, it's both guys are going 70% and, you know, we set it up. And then all of a sudden when kids start to figure it out and then you see them just start to flow and go and trying things and you see the ego start dropping off and all of a sudden they start getting better. It's a really fun thing to watch as a coach. But I have to attribute that back to, you know, to the way Penn State has really impacted the nation when it comes to wrestling and coaches who are really coaches and wrestlers who want to have a growth mindset and who are trying to learn along the way. Okay. So now as you transitioned into a coach and now you're running this club, first off, why Centurion? Why the name?
Centurion Club. So I'm a huge history like buff. Like when I grew up, I pretty much would either watch like cartoons and stuff like that, or I was watching Military Channel, History Channel, Discovery Channel, Science Channel. And I loved specifically like ancient Greece and Roman history. So when I was thinking of club names, like I was just like, you know, like I kind of like Legion, but I feel like that's kind of been done. And I don't really want to call myself like Legion or like Legionnaires because like Centurion's already hard enough to pronounce. So I was like, I don't think anybody's going to be able to pronounce Legionnaire. So I was like, let's just call it Centurion. And I came up with a logo. Like this isn't actually the original logo. The original one was like kind of a Spartan helmet with like, the tommel, which is like the horse mane thing. And I was just like, nah, cause like I'm pissed off that that's not actually like a Roman helmet. Cause like, I wanted it to be kind of authentic to like actually making it look Roman. So I just kind of went on Google and started looking for like logos. I went on like Shutterstock and found this like Charging Centurion logo. And I was like, like $20 to buy that. Like, it's kind of weird, but all right, whatever. So I like bought it. And then just started color coding it. And I was thinking blue and white at first, just cause Penn State, but my favorite colors my entire life have been red and black. And I was like, red and black looks cool. So I was like, just kind of started mocking everything up and stuck with it. Like, and also like red was known for Romans. Like they wore, you know, the red cloaks and everything. And so it was cool. Like I loved it.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the logo. Red and black is one of my favorite color too. So, and that time in history is a really good, you know, whenever I think of soldiers, when I think of warriors, there's a few different groups I think of, but you know, that's a really good time. So, okay. You know, your coaching philosophies and styles. So, and not even talking about technique. I'm a technique freak too. I know that you're phenomenal with technique and I'm constantly studying technique, but let's just talk about, you know, what are the key things that whenever you have kids coming into your program, because you've wrestled forever, you've been through, like you said, winning, then losing, and then getting burned out and then coming back and going through adversities and then getting to be trained by the highest level people. What are the things that you know, really want to like kind of, I would call them pillars of your program or the things you're really trying to teach your athletes?
So like one of the first big things that I teach, like one of my core mentalities, actually. So I have like five core mentalities I teach. The last one being, and I don't rank them in any level of importance, but I say this is kind of the most important, is just a love of the process. I tell every parent, like my goal as a coach is to get your kid to love wrestling more than they did before they got to me. I don't care if they never have, you know, the accolades. I don't care if they're the best wrestler in the room. I care that they love practice, that they want to be there, and, you know, that they get excited. And my favorite thing I hear from parents is just them saying, like, yeah, like, you don't understand how much it means to me that, like, my kid is now, like, come on, like, we got to go to wrestling practice. And just, you know, trying to get kids to love the sport the way I do now. But then also, just because I understood at Penn State, like, what separated me from my teammates? Like, we were learning the same moves. We were, you know, principally training the same. Like, obviously, their pedigrees were different. So, like, the talent gap was wider. But, like, what's the difference? And I just realized, like, they grew up thinking of the sport in a different way than I did. Like, they loved it. They were competing everywhere. They were doing Tulsa, Reno, you know, freestyle. Like, things I wasn't doing as a kid. Like, and – but, like, people always think, like, oh, like, these Penn State kids, like, they just had to be just wrestlers all the time, right? Like, they were just wrestlers. But then you talk to them, like, no, I played this sport. I did that sport. Like, they played sports. Like, they played other sports too. And but they just loved wrestling. And that was what was different for them. And I actually have a kid, one of my high school kids that just recently started with me. He's his high school's quarterback. Like, he's his football team's quarterback.
Yeah.
But he's quit football. He's a junior right now. But he has goals. He wants to place in the state. He wants to wrestle in college. And he understands, like, hey, if I want to do this, like, I got to sacrifice. And I just kind of told him, like, hey, man, like, you know, if you want to do this, like, it's a big move. And, like, don't put all the pressure for, like, just the accolades. Like, understand that you're doing something that's extremely challenging. You're giving up other stuff for the sake of something else. And regardless of your result, it's going to be a big impact for your life. Just know that. Like, I can guarantee you, regardless of what you do wrestling, this is going to change your life. And he just sent me, like, the nicest text ever. And was just like, I can't really express how much I've loved wrestling, you know, being in the room with you. Like, I just see that, like, you're clearly in it for my betterment and nothing else. Like, and it just meant the world to me. And hearing stories like that where kids are just legitimately excited, like saying, you know, this is the best practice I've ever had, or, you know, that, like, I just had so much fun. I can't wait to go back. You know, how I told you about the Wildwood Duels, I had a little kid describe it as the best weekend of his life. That same little kid at U States went 1-2. But he said it was the best day of his life. Like, he had so much fun. And he was right back in practice on Monday, like, excited, ready to be there. He's only 8, but he loves it already. And, like, I tell people all the time, like, it's hard to beat somebody who loves the sport than you, more than you, I mean. So that's, like, my biggest thing, a love of the process. Get rid of the results. Medals don't matter. Results don't matter. None of that matters. Just love the sport for what it is, a game. It's fun. Like, and it makes you stronger. You know, and that's one thing I tell kids a lot. Like, you have to understand why you love the sport as well. Because, like, I can't make you love it if you don't have a reason for it. Like, I love lasagna. I can tell you why I love lasagna. It's delicious. But, like, if I just liked lasagna just because, you know, it was kind of what was fed to me, then I don't really have a reason to enjoy it. Like, I love lasagna because it's always been my favorite dish since I've been a little kid. So that's why I ask for it every birthday. But yeah, that's the biggest thing. Just a love of the process, a love of the sport. My rules are obviously score points, have fun. And I recently added to dominate. And by dominate, I don't mean like win. I just mean seeking to do the very, very best you can. And like winning usually comes if your goal is to go out there and, you know, give 100% effort and just dominate every position and dominate the match in a way that you can walk off the mat knowing, hey, I gave everything I had to give.
Yeah. Yeah. Something we never with my team, we don't talk about, you know, a lot of people have goals, right? We don't really talk about goals, desired. I mean, we want to win our league tournament. We want to win the regionals. That's just a given, but those aren't the things we focus on, you know, like control the controllables is how we say it. So
yeah.
Scoring points, having fun, looking to dominate. Because when you do all those things, you do those things consistently, you fall in love with the process, you typically have pretty good outcomes. So you're controlling the controllables along the way. You talk about the process, you know, just made me think. So my wife is a softball coach in the softball season right now, but we were just discussing sports last night in general. I mean, we have 4 children, they all play sports. And then, you know, her and I are both coaches at the high school. And I was saying, and I'm going to use baseball as the example. So looking at little league stuff, and this is for a lot of little league sports, but this is the easy one to visualize. And so I just said, okay, you get little league kids who go and during the summertime, they're playing in tournaments. And some of these kids are getting 60 to 80 games in the summer. I'm like, how often do they practice? A lot of them is maybe once a week. they might practice once a week and then they're going and they're playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're playing all these games. Okay, well, they're 8, 9, 10 years old. So they might get the bat on the ball once. Maybe if they're lucky, they have two hit to them. So they're touching the ball three times in the game. Like the most skills they developed was when they were warming up before the game, you know, and then they're not truly practicing and getting better. So all of a sudden, when these kids get into, you know, a higher level club or they get into high school and all of a sudden they're having to practice every single day and they're having to go through the process a lot of times, because it's just, I think it's the era we live in with technology and things like that. People want instant results, right? They want microwave results. They don't want to have to go through the process. Okay, so, but to, in order to truly develop their skills to become the best baseball players, for us to develop the best wrestlers, it literally is a process. And it's something that you're going through and you're having to do consistently over time, over and over, the highs and lows, everything else that comes with it. I think it is much easier to do when you love it. So what are some of the things that when you think, because I told my wife, I said, you know, for me, like when I think about wrestling, like, I don't know if I did when I was younger, but like, even as a coach, I love practice. It doesn't mean I always feel like going to practice. Doesn't mean I always feel like working out. But every time I work out, I feel better afterward. After every practice, I'm motivated and pumped up, right? But I mean, I'm human. I was tired sometimes. We have four kids and multiple jobs. You know, I didn't always feel like going there. But afterward, it was awesome. So I love those things. What are some of the things that you think help us to develop that love in kids? Because as a coach, I want to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think for me, like it really just boils down to, and I this is like one of my favorite sayings, but like I always say, like a chef needs to eat his own food, right? Like if, because you know, every Monday I do like a mental Monday thing and I tell these kids mentalities, and like every mentality I tell them, like I try and make sure, like, do I actually apply this? Like, do I use this? Like, yeah. And if I don't talk to it. And that's why, like, with technique, like I'll occasionally teach some like fun technique that like I know how to do. It's not technique like that would have been, I would use it every match, but like it's fun. Kids like to learn it. But like for the most part, like I teach, you know, generally what I did or like stuff that I know works that I've like learned from my teammates. And I'm kind of the same way with how I teach getting the love of the sport. Like by showing that I love being there, that I'm excited to see them, I find that a lot of the kids reflect that back. Yeah. And just enjoy being there. Like, I'm not hard on them. Like, even when they goof off, like I have a rule. So when I film technique, if a kid talks or like is disruptive, I just send them out in the hall. And then I go out and get them. But like every time I go out and get them, like I just make sure to explain to them, hey, like you're not in trouble. I'm not mad at you. Like, you just need to understand that like they're when, you know, it's a respect factor, but it's also that I'm treating you like an adult. Like I even though you're a kid, like I expect you to understand that, like, I respect you on a peer to peer level. Like, I don't care how little you are. And I want you to understand that I want you to get better. And if you have to be out here in the hall not watching the technique, like, you're not getting better. And it's like some of the kids that like can periodically be disruptive, but they still want to learn. Like, they'll even just watch the technique through the window of the door. And that's how I know, like, hey, that kid loves it. He's just a little goofball. And so I think like that's what I get a lot out of the kids, is that they see that I love it and that they want to love it too. You know, one of my youth state champs, he is like, I literally just joke with him. Like, he's a gamer. Like, he does it in practice. Like, you would never think that he gets anything accomplished in practice if you watched him. And like, if I was a hard-o coach, like, he wouldn't be in my room. But like, because I'm like this abundantly goofy, funny guy, like, he feels like he can be his authentic self in the room and goof off and have fun, still practice. But he's a very respectful kid for the most part. He's just goofy. Like, one time I was teaching a move to another kid, but like I was done helping them and I was just talking to them, and he like asked for help on the move. And then he saw I was still talking to them. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't realize you were helping them. Because I usually tell them, like, hey, if you see me helping somebody else, don't scream at me to come help you. Like, wait till I start walking around. And I was like, no, Matt, like, I'm not helping them anymore. Like, I'll come help you. But it was just, like, to see that, like, even though he can be goofy, he was respectful to see, like, hey, he's helping somebody else. I don't want to interrupt. And I find that the kids that love it and have fun with it and have the success are the ones who are just – they just enjoy it. And the way we get them to love it is by showing them that we love it. And like you said, like, yeah, you're tired some days, like some days you don't want to be there. But I think those are the days that remind me like why I love it the most. Like when I have like the worst days of work or just like generally just don't feel myself, but then you like get one of the little kids running up on you and jumping on you and just, they're just genuinely excited. They have that blissful ignorance of being a kid. It motivates me to just be happy again and be grateful. And I think that's what, you know, you get from a lot of high level coaches all over sports. Like if you look at any sport, any coach really who's successful, save like maybe Bill Belichick, like they just enjoy, like they look like they enjoy being there. Like they're having fun. And like the winning comes. And that's what, like, I think in wrestling, we have such of this degree that we can't enjoy anything. Like, you know, you talk about like, you have to just lose weight just to be able to compete. And like, people are like, oh, that sucks. But like, you know, like why cut weight? Like you don't have to cut weight. No one's making you do it. Like if you think you can be competitive, not cutting weight, do it, like prove it, have fun with it. But like in our sport, there's such of this like thing where like, you can't have a good time. Like you have to be a hardo. You got to be serious all the time. But then like the most successful guys in the country are literally telling you like we're having a ball. Like and there was an article that went around a few months ago talking about when Sean McDermott came and visited the team. I was actually there. That was during my time. And we had him there and Matt Patricia. But it was cool because like McDermott got to see, like, you know, we're getting ready for nationals, our national tournament. We're playing dodgeball. And like I tell kids all the time, like, between my junior and senior year, we might have normally warmed up 5 times total. Like I would say for the most part, it was always some sort of like game or something. Like we didn't really do a whole lot of like serious warmups. Like we just had fun. And when you're excited to be at practice, you get better. So I guess the best way to put it succinctly is just get them excited by showing you're excited to be there too. Like I said, I'm goofy. Like I'll start barking at kids and some kids are like, yo, this dude's a weirdo. But then other kids are like, yo, this guy's hilarious. I love him. And I have kids who are like, they've become, you know, close to the point where like they can confide in me whenever they need it. Which like I love, like, you know, and obviously I don't want to get too personal with anybody. Like they're still just athletes to me. Like they're, but like, it's fun for them to like, just know that like, if they have a bad day, like they're excited to see me. And I've had parents tell me that too, like, hey, like, you know, he had a bad day today, but he's excited to come to practice. Cause he knows like he'll love being there. And that means more to me than any kid, you know, placing in states or doing any of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I've had this saying, I've said it a number of times on various podcast episodes, but you can't fake passion. And I don't care what area it's in. If you're around somebody who's passionate about what they do, it's just like contagious, right? So if I was talking to somebody who, and I like technology, I have a degree in technology, but if I was around somebody who was like a coder, that sounds like the most boring thing in the world to me, right? Somebody who's just going to sit and code. But if they were passionate about it, like you would probably like get a little excited, like hearing them talking about it, right? Like you can't fake passion. So it's so awesome being around somebody. And I think sometimes as coaches and teachers or people in any leadership role, we have to go back and realize like we control the energy of the room a lot, right? So whenever you walk in and you're excited and you're passionate about it, and like you said, sometimes even if I'm having like the roughest day, like once I walk in the wrestling room, it's just last my place, man. Like I just feel good like once I'm in there, right? And I think the kids see that. But then there's days where maybe I come in and I'm in a bad mood. And then now I'm wondering why every kid in the room has a scowl on their face or whatever. We're having a bad practice. Well, guess what? I got to look inward and realize I better up my energy a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I got to put it back on me. But so I love hearing that, man. Passion is contagious.
Well, I think like you ever heard the story of like the like stone cutters or something like that? I forget what it is. But so like the story goes like this in a nutshell. This dude walks up to 3 different people. They're all working on a cathedral, right? And they think they're stone cutters. And the one stone cutter is just the guy who has the approach of, I'm just doing my job. So he walks up to him. He goes, oh, like, you know, what are you cutting the stone for? He's like, they told me to cut stone, so I cut stone. And then the other guy comes up to him and goes, you know, like, hey, like, what are you cutting the stone for? He's like, oh, I think I got to cut it for, like, something they're building. Like he's doing it because he kind of knows about it. But then they go up to the other guy who's just passionate about cutting stone. And they're like, "What? Like, hey, like, you know, why are you excited to cut stone? Like, you seem like way more excited than the other two." He's like, "I'm building a cathedral." Yeah. And like in his mind, like he's not doing some mundane labor task. And like, I think, like you said, like passion's so important. Like three of my brothers are laborers. And then my other brother and I are like white collar office guys. But we all like work extremely hard. We all have a lot of fun doing our job. We all love to talk about our job. And that's how you know, like, we're kind of doing things we enjoy, right? Like, I love talking about coaching. I could talk wrestling until the cows come home, because I just love it. Like, I have so much fun with it.
Yeah, passion. That's a great story, too. That's a great representation. I'm glad I've heard that before, but it's been a long time. That is a great representation. I'm going to remember that so I can tell that story as well. All right, and last thing real quick, I don't want to get away from this that you just said, you know, a few minutes ago, but authentic self. I think that is big. It's not that you don't have rules and things that for your athletes, but allowing athletes to be the, you know, their authentic self. I don't know, man, I've always been into that. You know, there's some coaches, and this is like really old school, but you know, we get on to kids if they didn't wear certain socks or the certain way, or everybody has to look exactly the same. And for me, I'm like, dude, if you throw some pink laces in your wrestling shoes and you wanted to, you know, whatever you had, I don't care, man. Be you. You be you whenever you go out there. Like, I still want you representing our team and you're wearing our – but I love it when kids get to be their authentic self, because that's when you just see them start to blossom and bloom. And so I'm really glad that you said that, man, because we can't put everybody – they can still follow our rules that we have for the program. They still should be learning the mentalities. But, man, they're going to come into their own when they get to be themselves and we don't try to, like, cookie-cutter them and put them in a box that they don't fit in.
Yeah. No, I think, like – that's what I love about all my kids, is just that there's some who started doing, you know, a lot of the moves I teach, and there's some who like still won't do any of the stuff that I've taught them. But it's like, I don't ever really yell at them, like, dude, like you didn't do anything I taught you, like it. But like, it's just, it's fun because they enjoy it. Like, it's what they do. Like, I have, you know, one of my better like youth kids, like he's kind of always been known for hitting just like insane stuff. Like he'll chin whip you, he'll headlock you, like he'll reach back intentionally on bottom to try and rip you over. And like, he's just like, I'm like, a lot of coaches would scream and yell at him, like, dude, stop doing that. But then it's like, when it works for him, you're like, all right, cool. Like, it worked. And then like other times when it doesn't work, it's like, hey man, like it is what it is. Like, one of my favorite matches my entire college career was a loss. Like, so I lost to this kid from Maryland. I was winning like 7-2. Like, I gave a reversal at the end of the second period, or end of the first period, but I had like almost 3 minutes of riding time. And like I said, I was good on top. Like, I had turned him already once or twice. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, huh. Like, you know, like, let's try and get another takedown. So I cut the kid up to his feet and I go to like blast through him, and he just like pancakes me right back and pins me. And I just like remembered walking off the mat and like shrugging and laughing. And then, like, Coach Kale's there, and he goes, like, Higgins, you're a nut. And I was like, what? Like, I don't even know what just happened. Like, I just remembered, like, just having fun with it. And so, like, the fact that he wasn't even mad that I lost, or that he even got, like, almost, like, headlocked or pancaked. Like, he just saw me going out there and having fun with it. And he was more proud of that. So that's why, like, that's probably one of my favorite matches of my entire career. And that's, you know, the best coach in the country, just – excited that I was out there taking risk and being me and being a weirdo.
I know I love it, man. I love what my kids go for it. I want them to wrestle wide open. Fortune favors the bold.
Exactly.
So, all right. I always end the podcast with this. You can expound upon this as much as you want. You can answer one or all three, but the three H's. Okay. I want you to tell me about a hero, a hardship, or a highlight in your life, or a little of each. Hero, hardship, highlight.
So I would say I'm going to kind of go here with like hero and hardship. And I guess a highlight. It's kind of a highlight too, but it's just a way for me to reflect on where wrestling took me. And so when I was a sophomore, junior of high school, my one brother, he's a recovering drug addict. And so like sophomore year was kind of like the worst point for him. Sophomore year, like right at the start of my year, was the first time he went to rehab, August. And he was my best friend. Like, he's the next youngest to me. So he was my best friend. We would always spend time together. He drove me everywhere. And when he went to rehab, like, I was just lost. Like, I got, like, I literally had irritable bowel syndrome, like, as a 16-year-old kid, which, like, didn't make any sense because, like, you're not supposed to have that as a kid. And it was embarrassing. Like, I couldn't control my body, basically. But then wrestling came around. And, like, by the time wrestling season came around, like, he was kind of sober. So like I was happy again, but then like wrestling was there and I was excited to be there to give my family something to be proud about, excited about. And then midway through wrestling season, right after Christmas, my brother relapsed and fell off the face of the earth. And like my parents didn't really tell me anything, because I was a kid, they wanted me to stay ignorant to it, but like I learned about it. I figured it out. You know, when you just try and text them and you're not getting any text back. And so like that, you know, I wrestled through that season, just trying to give my parents every reason to be happy, be proud about something. That kind of goes with my hardship. But then right before, so I said I went to J-Rob. Right before I went to J-Rob, my dad's friend was a private eye and like had found my brother and brought him back up. And they wouldn't let me see him because he looked so bad. Like he just was skinny, had really long hair. And they were like, yeah, you're not seeing your brother. So they sent me to J-Rob without being able to talk to my brother, who was my best friend. And one of my brother's teammates, this kid, Rich Sparks, my other brother, my middle brother, the one that wrestled with Burroughs growing up, one of his teammates had overdosed that week. So my J-Rob camp, they make you wear, you know, the white shirts that say J-Rob if you buy them. I wrote on every one of my shirt, like, do this for Rich. And I just like wanted to motivate myself because like thinking of my brother's teammate who just passed away from a drug overdose, like I kind of got into it, was like, hey, like, if, you know, I can get through this camp. I can do my very best at this camp. And just trying to do it for reasons where it was like, I wanted to supersede myself. And then when I got back, like my brother was sober again, had gone through rehab again. But like, we didn't know he had actually got kicked out. We thought he just passed. And so he got really bad again that summer. So come that August, he went to rehab again. And thankfully that was the third and final time. But he wound up going and like, it was my junior year. So I kind of had the same type of premise where it was like, all right, like we're going to try and give my parents something to be proud about and not think about my brother for now. And like people would always tell my mom, like, hey, like, you know, he's really old for his age. Like he seems very old for his age. But it was more like just me trying to kind of age myself up a little bit to be there for my family. Cause like, I'll be honest, my family was like tearing each other at the seams because my mom wanted to approach it like a nurse. My dad wanted to approach it like a cop. Yeah. My brother had different reasons to, you know, think what they thought. And so I just like wound up pushing through that. And then junior year, you know, he was doing really well. He'd gotten a halfway house. He took the like kind of like more faithful way through rehab. Like he found God, which was really nice. Because at that point he hadn't really had anything to do with that. But he, you know, got through it and he just is doing awesome now. And he has a little baby boy who just turned one. He has a job he loves, a wife he loves. He's got a beautiful house. He loves grilling. He's got like a green egg. He's got all types of cool stuff. He built his whole outdoor kitchen. He's just like living an amazing, blessed life now. And that point in time was when like, if I didn't have wrestling, if I wasn't where I was doing that sport, I don't think I would have made it through it. I think I would have chosen different things without the discipline of wrestling, without the people around me within the sport. And I think that that's kind of why it's one of my highlights too, is that getting through that motivated me to become better, to elevate myself. And that's why like now, like I love being able to be a resource for families and for kids to just like have an outlet. Like I've had kids who've just gone through some of the worst years of their life. Obviously through COVID, like all these kids just dealing with the fact that they don't know when they're basically just to be told, hey, you can't wrestle for 3 weeks, or like, you know, you're like, I had one high school kid who just got cleared. He only wrestled 3 matches this year. He's a junior. And he's basically had 2 of his years just destroyed by COVID. But the kid's an awesome kid who's like started a charity to donate shoes to kids. Like, he took his adversity and he's powered through it. He's becoming this awesome beacon. And that's what the sport can do for you. That's why, like, I love wrestling so much. Just that, like, you know, story like my brother, like somebody who just got through something like that. And that's why, like, I always tell myself, like, no matter what the hardship is, like, you know, my brother did that, I can do it. No matter what these kids go through, like, I'll guide them. I'll walk step for step with them. I'll carry them if I have to. Like, that's what it means to me to have that kind of highlight my life, is to know that, like, everybody's human. Everybody's been through stuff. And, you know, that's why, like, I'm kind to everybody, because you never know. Like, you never know what somebody's going through or what their family's going through. So you have to be nice and just be somebody that they love and cherish.
Absolutely. That's the essence of a coach, man, right there. That's family, that's coaching, you know. And then thankfully we have, and I'm sure other people feel that way about their sports, but thankfully we have the sport of wrestling that is, you know, kind of there to guide us through that process and all the wonderful things that come with it. So anyway, well, coach, man, thank you so much for being on. Thank you for your time, giving us your wisdom. I will put your website in our show notes. Where's the best place to follow, you know, your program and to follow you on social media?
So I have a Facebook page. I can send you the link to that. I also have an Instagram page, which I'm pretty active on both of those. I'm actually more active on those than I think I am my own personal stuff anymore. But those are probably the two best. And then obviously the website links all that too. So if they go to the website, they can find all that through there as well.
Okay. Yep. Well, I will put all the Centurion Wrestling information on there so people can check it out. And if they're in your area, you know, they need to get over there and come be trained by you and be part of that program. And for those of us who are across the country, you know, we'll be watching from afar. So again, thank you for your time. It's been a blessing to have you on.
Thank you. You as well. I was very excited to be part of it. It's been an awesome conversation. You know, I'll be following it from now on. I love a lot of the content. So keep doing what you're doing. You're amazing. Everything, you know, that you guys are doing between Wrestling Mindset and everything else as well. And good luck with your kids. Like, I'm the youngest of five boys, so I know four kids has to be fun. So, you know, good luck to you and your wife, and, you know, may God bless you guys as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Coach Higgins. I appreciate it. And everybody listen, this has been another episode of Coach Peace Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, give you peace. Until next time, we're out. Hey, I want you to go check out my friends at the Matterborn Wrestling Company. If you wear wrestling shoes for any reason, for me, I lift in these, I train in these, I coach wrestling, I wrestle. All right. So if you're an MMA fighter, a wrestler, weightlifter, and you wear any sort of a wrestling shoe, boxer, these are the ultimate shoes. I've wrestled since I was 4 years old, been around the sport my entire life. And for the last few years, the only thing I've worn are Matterborn wrestling shoes. The comfort is ridiculous. They have a 1 year guarantee. The fit, phenomenal. And then I can't wear them out. I wear these suckers almost every single day. I can't wear them out. So that is Matterborn Wrestling, MATABOURNE Wrestling Company. Go look at any of their social media as you'll be able to get to their link tree through that. I will also have a link in the show notes. Matterborn Wrestling Company, if you're looking for wrestling shoes, they are the best.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.